Here we go, everybody. Give me a count around.
Five,
Two, three,
four,
one.
three, two, one.
All right.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
I use the bathroom.
Go time!
Are you making it for young in the kitchen? Sushi.
It's
not any better.
It's a tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like cats, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies, that'll link it bad. But the stream is good with the DLNGS.org. And I see challenges of LinuxLink.net. Found tech show. Just it right there, put the gallon just about to begin.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 981 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Good evening, everyone, or daytime, whatever it is.
We have Pat.
December.
Happy Pat.
Almost.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Yep. I'm here.
And
I bought a ticket to the Ohio Linux Fest.
Oh, good for you, sir.
I'm only probably going to go probably from the morning until probably about lunchtime and then head out. But I'm just looking at, well, the bad part is our good friend Tony Bemis from the Sunday Morning Linux Review, which I don't think they produce a show in a while, but his talk is on Friday. And I'm like, well, I have to work on Friday. Oh well.
Work from the show.
That's a thought, but no, I really can't because it's our first week on the new team. So
no,
there is that. And we're working basically. My new team is all incidents and break fix cases. So that's it. So we're gonna get. I won't say buried. I don't think we're going to be buried. It's technically a soft launch, but it's a good month for a soft launch because Christmas is you know, December is not too bad that way. So, but my week of vacation, Thanksgiving, good. Rest of it, crap. Monday, I'm Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember which day now. I think it was Tuesday, but my wife and son, they took his car to go to the gym, and then they were going to go to the thrift store and then Walmart, and they went to the thrift store, and they come back out to start the car, and it would not start. And I thought, oh, crap, you need a jump. Well, we called some roadside assistance out for a jump. That didn't work.
Was that AAA roadside assistance?
First one was OnStar through GM, and then I ended up having to get a tow. I used my insurance one for that because the guy that OnStar sent out for a tow truck, quite frankly, I didn't know. My son had the parking brake on, so he couldn't just pull it up on the flatbed. So he had to get one with dollies in order to tow the damn thing to the dealer. So, when it finally got there, probably the next day, they call up and say, hey, we need both keys. And I'm like, okay.
So but were then, they selling it for you?
No. Well, what it ended up being, because we got it back Saturday, all right, they replaced both fobs. And because my car has, well, really both of our cars have the push button start, apparently both fobs just, they try to reprogram them. They wouldn't reprogram, so they had to replace the fobs under the warranty. So, but that marks the third thing that's gone wrong. The
wait,
air conditioning
wait, wait.
Fin- Yes,
what,
sir.
What went wrong? The
fob, the electronic part of the fob.
On the keys?
Yeah, they didn't work. Yeah.
Both keys died.
Apparently.
How does that
and
happen?
I never use mine.
Wait. It's sometimes you need both keys to do a programming.
Yeah, but
that's true. My Volkswagen was like that. I only had one key, and the battery died on it. And when I went to take it back there, they were like, we had to use one of our, I guess they had a throwaway one.
That, right. To make is what it was. All right, so buttons started coming off it and all that. So I ended up, I ordered another one, but I just swapped the board. I just swapped the board from one fob to the other, or I just moved the blade over because that one had the blade that popped out, and that's how you started the car.
Uh-huh.
So on the cruise, you would like start it first with the working one, then you'd put the non-working fob in and start it from there. And that would actually program the fob. So, and at that point, it's all good to go, even for the remote door locks. So, but my Traverse, the first Traverse I had, that one had the old school one where it actually had a physical key in one of those little teardrop kind of like fobs. And that one, if you wanted to get another fob for it, you had to have a locksmith or the dealer program the fob. All right. With the tool, or you can buy the same tool. You can buy the tool online as well, to do that. But you know, this one, on my Trailblazer wasn't the case. There's nothing I could have done, you know, cause you couldn't even start it. Even if you took it, does both my cars, the new cars have an emergency key so that if the battery does go low, you can unlock the car. All right. Well, apparently the battery was not low enough. When you did that, it would set off the alarm. Yeah, because they did that, and then because I have OnStar, I get emails and text messages. Hey, your alarm's going off. You might want to check on that.
So, to finish my mother-in-law story, I just took the battery out of the new key fob, put it in the old one, and bim, bam, boom, we're good to go. She was happy. I was happy. And yep. Thanksgiving was saved.
There you go. What's that, a CR2032 probably?
Yeah. It's just a standard battery, yeah.
Coin cells, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, she didn't even know they had a battery in them that you could replace.
But in better news, though, one good thing that did happen that last week is I did get my new Tom Bin backpack, and I'm very happy with it. Haven't taken it anywhere yet, but I will for Christmas.
Good for you, sir.
Yep. And for the holidays, I'm going to add one thing to my goodies that I make for Christmas. I'm going to try my hand making some heart candy. It's actually pretty simple, but you don't even need a thermometer to do it.
Were you making ribbon candy?
No, just the kind where you basically use corn syrup, sugar, something else, I can't remember, but then you have the oil, the flavoring oil and food coloring, and you boil it till it get that mixture till it gets to hard crack, which basically means you take a bowl of ice water and you drop a little bit of it in there, and if it becomes hard and brittle, that's enough. Then you pour that out on a pan that's covered and that has like powdered sugar on it, and then you cut it and let it cool the rest of the way, and then you break it apart. Just standard hard candy.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I'm gonna make cinnamon, wintergreen, and peppermint. The only thing is I don't know what color I'm going to make the peppermint ones. Red's going to be cinnamon, green is going to be wintergreen.
Blue.
White.
No, that would be weird. White or the food coloring I bought off of Amazon, they have a pink one in there. That might work. So, but I'm going to try it. See, it doesn't sound difficult. You know, I make gingerbread cookies too, and the Hershey Kiss ones with the, not the peanut butter ones, but the Candy Cane Kiss ones. And I don't, well, one other one I used to make is candy cane ones, but those are a pain in the ass. I don't really feel like making those.
Tried out a couple of different recipes. Tried out two different peanut butter chocolate chip recipes. Also tried out a...
It's for your protein cookies.
Yeah. Yep. And then I also tried out coffee, cheese... Cooking.
Say coffee?
Yeah. Coffee.
Okay.
Coffee flavored cookie.
That could be good. Say it almost needs like some chocolate chips or maybe.
Yeah, maybe no, it had some... that the peanut butter flavor from that came from the Reese's it's not the Reese's Pieces, but the Reese's like little kisses, little.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I tried that, but I don't think I put in enough instant coffee to really bring out that coffee flavor. I might redo the recipe again and give it another try.
Yep. But, and those are all much healthier than the ones I just talked about.
Yeah. Well, the peanut butter cookies that were a little bit flavorless, they were only like 80 calories per cookie, which is pretty good. But the ones that actually, you know, are worth eating are about 100 calories per cookie. And still, like, you know,
right,
grams of protein per cookie, which is a lot for 100 yep. calories.
And I did break one thing I did also the week of Thanksgiving. I broke down and subscribed to HBO Max just so I can watch the Christmas Story movie. It was great.
Have you watched the holiday special yet?
The Guardians of the Galaxy one? No.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet either. I haven't watched it yet. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
I'm excited, man.
I'm not a huge Guardians of the Galaxy fan, but good? I might watch that.
It was fun.
Okay.
There you go. Enjoyed it.
I was hoping it was almost as garbage as the Star Wars holiday special.
See, that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
It's
it
goofy.
Sounds bad, but you know, Life Day special. But I did watch. I am caught up on the Santa Clauses series. That's been pretty good. Okay, so far.
Oh, they had a TV show, didn't they?
Yes, they've had 3 episodes out as of now, and I did what I'm caught up with the Mighty Ducks Game Changers, which is also a TV series. That's okay if you're a fan of the Mighty Ducks movies. It's in its second season.
That's got Emilio Estevez in it?
He was in the first season, but he has not been in the second season yet.
Okay, he was in the first season, but not the second season.
Right. He owned the ice rink that the original name for the team in the series was the Don't Bothers. You know, because basically they were like District 5 was in the movie. Because the team who was the Ducks still in that same league was a lot more like the Hawks were in the movie. They were real assholes, you know. But if you haven't watched that, it's worth a watch.
The kids that played in Mighty Ducks are all like
adults,
50, 40, 50, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, and some of them made a appearance in season 1. So, Averman, and I think Charlie was in it too, if I remember right. And probably the Bash Brothers, Fulton, and the other guy from Mighty Ducks, the one they did at the Goodwill Games. So they were in it, but none of them are in it for season 2. I'm trying to think if there's anybody in it that you'd recognize. Probably not, other than
you figure they grab one of the people from the original one and then, you know, put them as the coach or something.
A coach,
the coach. Yeah. The coach is one of the kids' moms. So, so it's that part's a tiny bit weird, but yeah. It was an entertaining series.
Did you watch Christmas Story Christmas? Yeah,
that's what I just said. Yeah, what'd you think? It was awesome. I loved it.
It wasn't as good as the original. You know, the original was, you know, that was a classic. But
if you were a fan of the original, I dare you to watch that movie and not tear up a little bit.
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah,
you got to remember, you're also seeing the original one through a bit of a rose-colored lenses there, because you watched it, enjoyed it as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Well, and the other thing too is, I'm trying to remember if the lady who played Ralphie's mom in the original is still alive, but I know the dad's gone. Darren McGavin passed away a few years ago. So, and he's still dead in the new movie. So, but it was really great how they covered that part of it. But it's set in what, about the 70s, I think, Pat? That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, early 70s. Yeah, they recast the mother. The original mother was the lady from Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right, yes.
Yeah, she died. And
die too?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They brought in Julie Haggerty, who was in Airplane.
Yeah, she was good. She's better than I thought she'd be. She wasn't the greatest actor in the world. But you don't need to be for that role. But yeah, I mean, she did good as a grandma. But the house
Clarence.
Yeah, Clarence. That's a movie. I don't know if they could make Airplane and have it be as funny now. You know, because you look at Airplane.
No, the whole first 10 minutes of it, you know, beating up the Hare Krishnas in the airport and stuff.
Yeah,
and the whole intercom talking back. You know, when the intercoms are talking back and forth to each other.
Yes.
Yeah, that they couldn't do that now because you have people whining and crying.
Yep. Well, the same thing with Blazing Saddles and
yeah.
God, what's another one that would be really Blazing Saddles would be. Never be made now.
Excuse me while I whip this out, you know. I mean, like, you'd have people like picketing and burning down theaters.
The N-word too.
Yeah.
I mean, they did use the N-word all over Blazing Saddles. But yeah, it's still, to me, it's a really funny movie. I love watching that every once in a while.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks at his best, I think. Spaceballs is still good, though. I like Spaceballs. I heard they're making a sequel, too.
Oh, they've been talking about making a sequel for...
The Search for More Money.
The day after it came out. That's the day it came out.
I was going to say, they had the closing credits with all the things they wanted to do with that one.
But Matt, I don't know.
They're making a sequel series to that 70s show.
Yeah... That actually sounds more promising than...
The 90s show.
Yeah, it sounds more promising than the 80s show was. If you look on YouTube, you can find almost every episode of the 80s show. And it was okay.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah, it had been better if they would have...
The 90s show is supposed to have, you know, a bunch of the characters from the 70s show.
Everybody but Danny Masterson, probably. Because he was Me Too'd.
Well, from what I understand, it's supposed to be focusing on the kids of, you know, the kids from that 70s show. And it will have the grandparents there.
That would be Kitty and Red.
Kitty and Red. So it's supposed to be Eric Foreman and Donna's kid spending the summer with Red and Kitty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be coming out in January.
I'll watch it.
If I get really bored, I'll watch it.
But the guy who played Kurtwood Smith was the dad on there. That's Red. Who was also Clarence Boddicker in RoboCop.
Yeah, he's been an actor for a long time.
He has. Oh, he was also the president of the Federation in Star Trek VI. The Delton president there. Something else he was in, too. He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I liked it. RoboCop, he was great in. Oh, and a little trivia on that. In RoboCop, when Boddicker came in to go see Dick Jones, the secretary that was sitting at the desk, that's the lady who becomes his wife, his real wife. Which is funny how he talked to her. Yeah, he was also in Broken Arrow. He's in Under Siege 2.
Dark Territory.
I like that one. It definitely was not as good as the first one. Because even Steven Seagal used his thumb.
Yeah, definitely was not as good as the first one.
No, the first one, yes. My favorite part was when he was kicking Tommy Lee Jones' ass all over the bridge. And he poked his eye out with his thumb. See, that they could have extended that. They could have made another one. But I guess, well, Steven Seagal's pretty fat now from what I've heard.
Yeah, and lives in Russia.
Yep.
And nobody wants to work with him because he's a complete and total ass.
Oh, he's an asshole. For sure. Always was. But he still made a damn good movie.
He also made some really, really terrible movies. Man.
He did.
I have a question. I'm guessing that everybody here uses a VPN for work, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yes.
And have you used any VPNs for non-work related, like non-work related VPN? Here's my question, right? All right. Well, let me see this. We use a VPN at work. We've had Cisco's AnyConnect, and now we're moving to Palo Alto's Open Connect, or Global Connect, Global Protect. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So,
I've used both.
Here's my problem. It's come up that they're talking. They keep coming up and saying, you got to get off the Cisco AnyConnect. We're getting rid of it. We need to move over to the Global Protect. And we have a bunch of people, contractors specifically, that use Linux. And they use the AnyConnect. And so now they're moving. They're like, well, what are we going to do for the Global Protect? Because they've also added some kind of restrictions or whatever that you have to have some, like, they also use, I think it's called Casper at work, and when you connect to the VPN, it looks at your system and it says, we can't let you on the network because it doesn't pass our security. And I don't really know anything about that because my laptop's a work laptop and it's running OS 10. So I'm like, I know a few years ago I was using Linux at work on a regular basis and I had done the work I needed to do to get AnyConnect working. Because I know on the AnyConnect side, you have to run some kind of script in conjunction with it. Once you connect, it has to run something. They're kind of supposed to provide you with a script, but they don't. And when you, like, with all of these fucking VPNs, it's the same thing. It's like, I need to get the client. How do I get the client? Oh, well, you have to go to the website. And the website basically tells you you got to get it from your security team. Otherwise, you have to log in with your credentials to our service and download it, which nobody has but the security team. But OpenConnect works. But if you're going to use OpenConnect, you have to have that script. So I tried connecting to AnyConnect and it was that situation, you know. It's like, I don't know where to find, where I'm going to get the script. I was just trying to help somebody out, blah blah blah. Long story short, I only spent like 5-10 minutes on it yesterday and it wasn't working. So the thing is, it came up again today and they're like, well, global. So I'm like, well, I know OpenConnect has support for Global Protect, so I went to run it and sure enough it was fine, but we have Okta in conjunction with this, so now it requires that you authenticate Okta through a different way, you know.
So that's how you pronounce that.
You have Okta too?
Yeah. Okay. I've always done it as Okta, but
so Okta. So I'm like, God, man, this is such. First off, nobody can find a client, right? And when you go, like, when you go to our, if you put in the address for the VPN into a browser, it lets you log in, and then you can download the client. So if I do this for the AnyConnect VPN, it says download the Linux client. I'm like, click on the Linux client, and it gives me the Windows client, right? And when I go to the Palo Alto, they don't even have the Linux client there. They only offer me the Windows and OS 10, which I guess I should be thankful that they're not trying to give me a Linux client that's actually a Windows executable. Doesn't make any freaking sense, right? But I don't know what the hell our team is. So I started digging around, right? I'm like, how the hell do I do the Okta thing with OpenConnect? And somebody wrote a perfectly great client to do this, OpenConnect with support for logging in through Okta, and they made it available for it's just like so GitHub repository, like one of the few GitHub repository pages that showed you, like, was really well documented and said, I have packages available for Ubuntu, for Red Hat, for Arch. It's in the Arch AUR repository. So I gave it a try. Like, I filed the directions, installed it. Worked perfectly. It was like the chef's kiss of software for the day. Which it got me thinking, right? I'm like, why does it seem like everything that work, like our IT team provides us, fucking sucks. Like, I know there's a huge difference in VPNs, and I understand there's all sorts of stuff that need to be taken into consideration. But you know, you watch almost every YouTube video is shilling one of three VPNs, and they're like, it's so easy to connect, right? Why does our VPN have to be such a bitch, right? And it's like the same thing for almost everything corporate. It's like, why does ServiceNow's ticketing system have to be such a shit? Like, why does corporate chat suck? Why does corporate ticketing systems and documentation systems suck? Right, like
you need Slack.
it all fucking sucked until Slack came along.
Right.
And like you're like, look at this. And then like video conferencing sucked.
And now then I have Zoom way comes too along. Many fucking Slack channels.
And you know, there's other things like I know that there's Jitsi. Jitsi's kind of a pain in the ass to set up. But like Jira works great compared to the other knowledge base and ticketing systems that we worked with. Jira and Confluence are 1,000 times better than ServiceNow and knowledge just
don't
base.
Don't put Confluence on the open internet right now, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I'm like, why? Right. Why does it have to suck so bad?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Like for example, I have a MacBook now, MacBook Pro 16-inch with the M1 Pro chip in it. Ventura came out. Can I upgrade to it? Not until corporate says so. And they're also switching. They're making us load an app on our corporate phones, which my work phone's an iPhone. So we got to load. I forget the name of the app. I have to go back and look at the email they sent out today. But I got to put that on there. You know, which never mind that they always switch up around things like. At one point, we were able to use like I could have used the standard mail app on the MacBook, right? Or on my iPhone too. So then the calendar and alerts all worked really well and stuff like that on the phone. They made us all switch to Office 365 and run the Outlook client on our phone. It sucks. It is so bad on the phone. It's not bad on the Mac or on Windows, but the phone app on the iPhone is just horrible. Here's another great example, too, is my prescriptions. You know, we have to do a lot of mail order prescriptions because I'm on maintenance drugs, right? So, as is the wife, as is my son, right? They have an app. OptumRx is who we do it, and the app is called OptumRx. That's how you can go on your phone and manage that stuff, okay? Have the app loaded on my phone. If I bring up the menu, you know, through swipe up on the pixels, you get the menu. You can search the menu, too. If I find the icon in the menu and I tap the OptumRx app from the menu, the phone says the app doesn't install. All right. If I press and hold it, and I get the right click menu or the press and hold menu, go to app info off that, and then right from the app info page, tap open, and I can open the app. This is the only app I have on my phone that does this shit. And it's the one that I probably care about more than the others because I got to I'd love to be able to manage my shipments. It's like, it's horrible. Not to mention the fact I think we do, and here's the thing that just disturbs the heck out of me. I've seen this, my company has this, but I'm sure others have this too, where they'll have like test fishes go out, you know, so that you simulated phishing emails go through and you're supposed to click report fish in the application. And that works fine, you know. But then we have some of the benefits we have. We have one called legal resources, which is basically a way I can get a lawyer for a minimum cost, you know, for things like, you know, like setting up retirement, stuff like that, you know, or real estate, things like that, right? They sent you a freaking email with links all over it. And I'm like, but then all of our corporate email training and security training tells you don't click links in email. Something's broke here.
Yeah, my company ain't going to get me on the phishing because I never look at my email. I'm like, if anybody wants to talk to me, they're just going to Slack me. You know, they're going to hit me up over Slack. So I
probably.
I the only thing I use the email for is the calendar to see what's on my calendar. If somebody wants me, they just usually Slack me. Sometimes I'll get a Microsoft Teams message.
Yeah, we use Teams.
I fucking hate Teams.
And Teams is awful.
It only happens if I have it open, which I rarely do. But I'm
I always laugh because, you know, every once in a while, that Okada, whatever the hell you call it, decides to drop me or send me off to another access point, and it'll drop me, and like I'll be working in, on the Linux side, so of course I lose all my connections, and I'll probably in a Teams meeting, just keeps right on going. Like, yeah, that's good security there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, it's just, you know, and the worst ones are, like, I had not internal things, but I had a client working on the integration, and the company that was doing the integration, they were using Hangouts, Google Hangouts, which means, you know, basically since I'm logged into my browser with my Google thing, it comes in as my Google email, which is gorkin@gmail.com, which, and nobody said anything about it yet. I am a little worried about that, but, you know, it's like, you know, it's like there's no standards with that from company to company. Everyone has their own fucking choices there, you know.
I will say even Google Hangout was a lot better than all the other meeting software that I've had to use in the past. The team stuff, I don't know. Like, why can't they get it right? It just sucks.
It's Microsoft?
It just sucks and sucks and sucks.
That's like I was on 2-3 hour call troubleshooting some stuff in Nonprod for a client. We couldn't log in, So you know what we ended up doing, Dan? Rebooted all the fucking boxes and stuff worked. I'm like, what the hell? There's nothing useful in the debug. It's like, why? What the hell changed? And it wasn't just, it started out as one account, but it ended up affecting all the accounts on that box because we had 3 or 4 non-prods running on the same pair of servers. It's like, so how do we write the internal BPM on that? You know, the client's going to want to know what the hell happened, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. We rebooted the box and it worked. That's what I think that's what all we have to say right now until we go digging at the event logs and stuff like that. But it's like,
you know, the one area that I can think of that maybe, you know, corporate level.
You're breaking up.
Oh, is that better? Hello.
Yep.
The maybe one is interesting. Since we did a little bit of an airplane couple jokes there, if you go on that archive site, you can find that police squad is on there, which is pretty funny.
Ooh. So off that, and then right from the app info page, tap open, and I can open the app. This is the only app I have on my phone that does this shit. And it's the one that I probably care about more than the others because I'd love to be able to manage my shipments. It's like, it's horrible. Not to mention the fact I think we do, and here's the thing that just disturbs the heck out of me with, and this is, I've seen this, my company has this, but I'm sure others have this too, where they'll have like, test phishes go out, you know, so that you simulated phishing emails go through and you're supposed to click report phish in the application and that works fine, you know, but then we have some of the benefits we have. We have one called legal resources, which is basically a way I can get a lawyer for a minimum cost, you know, for things like, you know, like setting up retirement, stuff like that, you know, or real estate, things like that, right? They sent you a freaking email with links all over it. And I'm like, But then all of our corporate email training and security training tells you don't click links in email. Something's broke here.
Yeah, my company ain't going to get me on the phishing because I never look at my email. I'm like, if anybody wants to talk to me, they're just going to Slack me. You know, they're going to hit me up over Slack. So
I probably,
the only thing I use the email for is the calendar to see what's on my calendar. If somebody wants me, they just usually Slack me. Sometimes I'll get a Microsoft Teams message.
Yeah, we use Teams.
I fucking hate Teams.
And Teams is awful.
It only happens if I have it open, which I rarely do. But I'm
sorry, I always laugh because, you know, every once in a while, that Okada, whatever the hell you call it, decides to drop me or send me off to another access point, and it'll drop me, and like I'll be working on the Linux side, so of course I lose all my connections. And I'll be in a Teams meeting. Just keeps right on going. Like, yeah, that's good security there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, it's just, you know, and the worst ones are, like, I had not internal things, but I had a client working on the integration, and the company that was doing the integration, they were using Hangouts, Google Hangouts. Which means, you know, since I'm logged into my browser with my Google thing, it comes in as my Google email, which is gorkin@gmail.com, which, and nobody said anything about it yet. I am a little worried about that, but, you know, it's like, you know, it's like there's no standards with that from company to company. Everyone has their own fucking choices there. You know,
I will say even Google Hangout was a lot better than all the other meeting software that I've had to use in the past. The Teams stuff, I don't know. Like, why can't they get it right? It just sucks.
It's Microsoft.
It just sucks and sucks and sucks.
That's like I was on 2-3 hour call troubleshooting some stuff in Nonprod for a client. We couldn't log in, So, you know what we ended up doing, Dan? Rebooted all the fucking boxes and stuff worked. I'm like, what the hell? There's nothing useful in the debug. It's like, why? What the hell changed? And it wasn't just, it started out as one account, but it ended up affecting all the accounts on that box because we had 3 or 4 non-prods running on the same pair of servers. It's like, so how do we write the internal BPM on that? You know, the client's going to want to know what the hell happened, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. We rebooted the box and it worked. I think that's all we have to say right now until we go digging at the event logs and stuff like that. But it's like,
You know the one area that I could think of that maybe, you know, corporate level.
You're breaking up.
Oh, is that better? Hello.
Yep.
The one is interesting. Since we did a little bit of an airplane couple jokes there. If you go on that archive site, you can find that police squad is on there, which is pretty funny.
Ooh. Talking on.
Yeah. Now he's recording with that one again.
There you go.
You know what? I ran through this a few years ago, and like I don't have any problems all day long. I'm wondering if somebody's device in my house is causing this issue.
Could be.
Something is clogging up your router.
Something's doing, like, it's just like really weird.
One of your kids is doing illegal downloads, and
it's just all of a sudden starts up. Well, anyway, what I was gonna say is, like, the one area that I could think of, like, that corporate software that I traditionally do not like might be better than almost anything else, and I'm way out of my wheelhouse here, and that's Active Directory. Because, like, I worked with eDirectory, And
oh, E Directory is awful.
I thought E Directory was pretty good, right? But man, oh right. Man, was like just to get that up and running and working was
pain in the ass.
Yeah, that was some serious voodoo shit there. It was like if you had Linux on the back end, but you couldn't do any Linux. You just only could interact with it through like an NCurses interface. That was like Novell server right there. Okay. Like that's all you could do is interact through an NCurses interface and have no idea like what's going on in the back end. It was like, that was terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then LDAP, it's supposed, you know, it's really powerful, but boy, that's just like, I think Microsoft, from what I can see and what I've done, and I'm not very well in the directory services. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a usability and approachability, they did, I think, a decent job in handling that. Now, of course, it is pretty much a monoculture there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
oh, yeah.
There is that, and anyway, maybe that's like the one area I could see, but like see. Almost everything else has been such like something. It's nice to see something like Slack
right
come along and just completely disrupt that market.
Yep. Yep.
And say it doesn't have to be shitty like this.
You not know? To mention the fact I can create my own emoticons in Slack, and I have.
Well, it's, yeah. So, you know, it doesn't ServiceNow, we don't, it doesn't have to be shitty, right? Nope. But you
oh,
get
but it is.
But once you get like once it gets in there and you get people invested in it and like yep. trained on it and like it is so hard to get that out of there. Yep. Like
well,
why here, do you use that crap?
Yep, and yeah, here's a good example of that cuz I had some ITIL training on that. Because like I said, we're changing up the new team I'm going to be the leader on is just looking at break fix cases and incidents. Okay. Well, basically, in a roundabout way, they told us that you have to really bring both the incident and the case up because some things that you put in the incident don't flow up to the case. Like if you put a work note in there, meant for the internal teams, that doesn't flow up from the incident to the case, okay? But if you put a customer facing comma in the incident, it does. And then ultimately, the change needs to come from the incident. All right, so if you have to do a change, it has to come from the incident. We actually changed up a lot of things. They simplified things. A lot of things had to go to the change advisory board. Now, it just needs a peer review and approval of your manager, and that's it, which is really all it should have been in the first place. But
I don't know. I don't know what you were just talking about there, Joel, but it did not sound right. Easier to me.
I have no. I agree.
I'm like, totally you said it made agree. It easier. I'm like, dude, I still have no idea no, what the does, hell you're it talking
didn't.
About.
It didn't. That's the thing. That's my point. It's like everything is so complicated in it, and then they use the data that come from it to measure whether we've met our SLAs. It's like, you know, so, and I've gotten like one of the questions. See, now my new boss is in India until I think she's back sometime next week. I can't remember when. All right, I've known this lady for years. She is an awesome person to work for. So I'm really happy with who my manager is going to be. But she's in India, so she has all of her meetings at 8 o'clock in the morning, which I'm like, okay, I'll try and make it. And I have, you know, but that's the main reason is because right now she's in India. That's her evening when she's over there. She is Indian, but she does live here in the States. But she has family back in India, so they went over there to train some of our Bangalore folks on how the action line does work. So, because technically we're just a division of the action line now, which is the same group of people that the on-prem folks call. But now we'll just handle the cloud side. So, but so she left a couple questions for me to ask in this ITIL thing. And After I read them, before I even had a chance to ask them, I think I already knew the answer, because see that they're coming from a land where they were using Salesforce before for managing their cases and stuff. So now we're all in a unified system where both the cloud engineering teams, our team, and the on-prem ActionLine folks, as well as the application specific ActionLine folks, all work out of ServiceNow now, and they're not used to it. Me and the rest of my team, we've been using it for a while now, since we've been in the cloud, and we've had case management in ServiceNow for 2 years. So it's very similar, but you talk about your connectivity problems you had just a bit ago. That's similar stuff, but with something I don't use all the time in the house. I bought a last year I bought a let me see who the company made it. It's essentially a Wi-Fi, outdoor Wi-Fi, smart switch thing. Okay. Made by in Brighton, I think. And one negative with it is it only uses the 2 gig Wi-Fi network. And I basically set up automation so that it will turn on the lights at sunset and turn off the lights at sunrise. So I don't even have to think about turning them on and off, right? So I'll wake up in the morning and I'll look and I see I'm using Google Home to do this. I'll see the routine and says, hey, you couldn't talk to the Christmas lights. And I'm like, what in the heck? So usually you pull the cord out of the socket, plug it back in, and it connects up right fine. And I'm like, okay. So the only thing I can gather is there's just some interference, and it you can still see the network, but when that happens, it seems like all of my devices can't connect to the 2 gig. Not that I connect my phone, I'm always on the 5 gig network, but strange stuff. But I don't want to talk about ServiceNow anymore.
You know what? Another thing is we have a time card application. Oh, I don't know if it's a time card application. I don't even know what the hell the application
Clarity?
Is. No, it's Informex. I don't know what, like, it's a suite of applications. And when you open this suite of applications up, all you get is a blank screen with like a button at the top. And when you press the button, it's like six icons up there, or I'm sorry, five icons, three in a row, two rows. First row is three and then two. And I think that's what it is. And compared to the rest of the screen, that box of icons that opens up is like a 12th of the rest of the screen. It's like obnoxiously small. There's no labels other than like just the name. And they're all like weird names. You have no idea like what each of these applications does. And so I just happened to know, because we had some documentation that said, click on the one that says Informix, and you click that thing in, and it's like the opposite of ServiceNow, where ServiceNow is just like this cudgel of crazy fields and stuff you have no idea what you're supposed to put in there. This is like, we just keep giving you a blank screen with a button to add more. And you're like, what am I supposed to do? It is so terrible. And then you got to like look up codes in it. And like, I have no fucking clue what these codes are. Like, it's like, oh my God, these applications are so terrible. Who looks at this and says, this is a good idea? We're going to pay money for it.
Yeah.
Someone.
And then we're going to ruin your experience and make you use it. The other thing, we have this, of course, they want to lock your system down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they can't lock our systems down because the development work that we do, we need to, because of the environment that we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it requires, they can't keep up with the stuff that, the tools that we're using. So, okay. That's fine. You're in charge of your system. Don't F it up. Okay, I won't F it up. But yet they insist on controlling our browsers. They wanna
why does that fucking matter, right?
Yeah, so I'm okay, they give us they have Chrome and Firefox and Safari available through their self-service system. But I'm the versions are always out of date. They're always one or two versions old. So if I go off and install it myself, the self-service system uninstalls it and installs the previous version. And then it tells me there's an upgrade. So then I got to go upgrade, but it's going out to upgrade from the official website, which 24 hours later, the self-service system tells me I have to upgrade again, and it downgrades it. It's like a constant cycle of downgrade. The only way you can get through it is to install it in a different location under a different name and hope it doesn't find it. It's ridiculous.
My work laptop here at home, it sees my printer, but insists that it's offline. You can send stuff to the printer, and as soon as it's the global protect shit, shit, because as soon as I disconnect from the VPN, all the shit comes out of my printer.
And your printer, is that USB connected, or is it networked?
It's on a USB right now.
Okay, that's weird. Going over a network.
I had asked the network guys when I was back in April, when I was back at work, and they were like, I don't know, it's not supposed to do that. That was the last I ever heard from
them. Printer? Yeah, I mean.
I was like, I have workarounds to get by with it and stuff. I just, I go about and I email it to myself. Okay, I can.
Yep.
And then I end up opening it up on my iPad and hitting print and boom, everything's hunky dory.
I have a problem. That's one technology that has sucked from day one of the personal computer, and that is printers. Either they jam a lot, or if you have I have a Wi-Fi printer. Every once in a while, my wife's Wi-Fi connection to her printer will fly to coop. I have to delete the printers, re-add the printers, and then it works. And it's always when you really want to or need to print something. Now, fortunately, I haven't flown anywhere since 2019. But I guarantee you, if I'm going to fly somewhere, I am printing out that boarding pass as soon as I freaking check in from home. Because I don't want to wait to try and print it out 5 minutes before I have to go to the airport, which is what I'd like to do. But
so it's funny because I know that the laptop knows that the printer's there because if I turn it off and turn it on again, you get that little bing bong that it does when you disconnect stuff,
right?
USB stuff. But I'm like, what the hell? We can't get this to work and. I gave up asking because there's I've determined that with my IT department, I ask only things I truly, truly, truly need. And if I can figure it out myself, I just do it that way because it's just sometimes easier.
Yep. Yep. That's good example there. For example, I have to install, if I want to build automations, which I probably won't be doing as much on my new team yet. But if I want to do that, I have to have Python on it. And then, of course, that's on the Mac, and I got to figure out all these other things. So I think I got everything squared away for that, if I ever need to do that. I do have Git set up as well, so I can pull in the stuff out of our Git repo. So I'm all good with that. But whew, you know, it's I don't know, man. And I think it was kind of something similar too. And this is something I'll put this since I know you use containers, Dan. But when you need, like, say you need a container for, I don't know, I'm going to say something that you probably don't need one for, but you might, WordPress. Do you build your own WordPress container, or do you download one?
I'm glad you asked. If I was going to, I would probably have to build it because it's VIP and we have a special need system for setting it up in a specific way. And that's the, if I wanted to test something out, I would grab a WordPress container and try it out quickly that way. But when we use a container like that, we use generally look at either using officially kind of Docker Hub containers built by specific projects, like the Alpine projects, the Node Alpine right. projects. And it's when I was doing, we do the CircleCI stuff, it's their containers that we use inside of there, even though we could use it. Like the GitHub containers that we use for the runners, our company has built, but I've also used the GitHub containers themselves that they provide, okay. the Ubuntu containers. So it depends. If it's something I just wanted to muck around with and play with, I might use a WordPress container that's available off of Docker Hub. But it would have to like double check it first. If we were going to use something in our day-to-day workflow, we would want to make sure it's somewhat vetted.
Okay. Yeah, because the article came out last week. It says over 1,000 Docker container images found hiding malicious content. This is a big reason why if you use Docker and Kube on your workplace, I would build your own.
Yeah, because
that's the only way to trust it.
And it's just like using any, like, just random stuff off of GitHub. You got to look at it first. Do some vetting of it. If it's just some, like, Joe Schmo that's throwing up a Docker Hub container that you don't know anything about, you run a risk there.
Totally. Yep. Okay. And I knew you built a lot of images over the years. So that was a good question to ask because I saw this article. I think Chuck Payne originally posted this on Facebook, and I came back at him and I'm like, why don't you just build your own image instead of just download one? He's like, well, if they already have it done. I'm like, yeah, but can you trust it? That's the thing. You know, just like as much as I dislike either Google or Apple pulling stuff from their app store, not that they've done that to Twitter yet. You know, there's been rumblings about that. But
yeah,
I guess those app stores that control your destiny if you're on these platforms.
You know, based upon what this article is saying, like one of the first steps that you want to, you know, look for first things is whether it's a verified or unverified, not verified image. If it's verified by the Docker library project, that's, you know, that's a first step into, man, you know, okay, I can consider using this image. If it's unverified, if I don't know the person or know, like, if it was like a company that had put this up and said, why don't you try this out, but it's unverified, but it was a company, I'm talking to the person, maybe. But yeah, an unverified image, that's really risky.
to me, even if the Dr. Hub folks have verified it, I still think it's probably better, but I don't think it's 100% without possible issues, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a thing, you know, because I don't trust, that's like so many, especially the Apple fans.
That would be why you can't get to hub.docker.com today.
Oh, maybe.
I just went there and all I got was a white page. It didn't give me any content.
But yeah, Apple fans, especially over iOS, will just say, "Oh, the Apple Store provides you with so much security over the Google Play Store," and I'm like, "Really? Do you?"
They both have their issues.
I like TNO. Trust no one. It's like, you know, I don't trust the store. Isn't something I necessarily need to trust. The application I do, you know, like, you know, some of them were complaining about Meta and, you know, AKA Facebook and other stuff in there, and I'm like, well, here's a simple answer to that: don't use it. I mean, you know, if you don't like something that the App Store is allowing them to get away with, don't use it. It's not the App Store's responsibility to protect you from stuff the service does, be it Twitter, Facebook, whoever, you know. And that's what both Google and Apple are doing with their App Stores, you know, lesser degree on one and the other, you know. That's one of the reasons why I like Android, because if an app ever gets pulled, I can always find the APK. I might have to go to work, you know, do some work to find it, or I can load up F-Droid or some other app store and still be able to install applications, some of which that maybe Google doesn't think is good. But yeah, it's, to me, a lot of people see their phones as something better than a PC or a Mac or a Linux machine. And that's really the wrong way to be with a phone.
Oh, because a phone is as computer as computer. Cost.
Yes.
I mean, if people can only afford one device, the one device they're going to afford is going to be a phone, right? Yeah, and a lot of people don't see the point in even owning a regular computer if they own
correct.
A phone. Which right. I find odd, and you find odd, but
yes,
we're not normal people.
No, that's true. You know, that's very true. But you know, like
my wife doesn't really use a laptop; uses her phone for absolutely everything.
My wife would. That's the only thing. That's the same reason why I've never bought a Chromebook yet.
Right. I mean,
I like the idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. If all you're doing is, you know, web-based email and looking at YouTube and simple web searches, then absolutely, a Chromebook is perfect for you, or it used to be. But now my problem with it is that a Chromebook costs as much as your lower-end Windows laptop.
Yes.
And if you're going to have to pick between one, why not get the Windows laptop, which can actually do more?
Yep. Well, this is the funniest thing in the world. My dad would be the perfect candidate for a Chromebook, right? You know, all he does is web shit. You know, right. he doesn't play games. He doesn't. Probably he might pop up Word, but to be brutally honest, if I showed him Google Docs for 5 minutes, he'd be fine. All right,
absolutely.
So, but what does my dad go to replace his? He bought one of those HP Stream laptops they had.
Yeah, the really cheap ones with like 32 gig of internal storage or something.
Right, and
crazy.
I think originally had it might have had 8.1 on it. Windows 8.1 or 8 or 10 or something. No, actually, I think it had 8.1 on it when he got it. But then he goes to upgrade to Windows 10 and he couldn't because there wasn't enough drives. Enough drive space on it. So, you know, he wanted to buy a new machine. What does he go out and buy? He bought a fucking gaming laptop. I'm like, Dad, you're not going to use half the power of that thing.
Yeah, but honestly, if it was like an MSI or something, the cost of performance is really there.
Right, that's true. Because it was probably right about $800. He didn't buy the one. He didn't buy as high end gaming laptop as I did last year. But
I mean, the only thing he could have done better if he had asked you or something was maybe go for a used ThinkPad that would have been perfect for him.
Yeah.
But buying on his own, if he wanted to make sure he got new, then yeah.
Right.
An MSI gaming laptop is probably what would have attracted his attention.
Or whatever. Yeah. Yep. It's just like now there's all this. Now, see, the thing I'm really worried about my dad, and Dan, you could probably see why I worry about this because of your dad. Not alcohol. He's not drinking. All right. But now that Dad doesn't have my mom to keep his spending under control, he'll just buy shit. So he traded his Camaro that he bought right after Mom died for a Colorado pickup truck because he had a camper that he needed to tow. All right. Then he wanted to upgrade his camper, so then he bought a Silverado, replaced that with a Silverado pickup truck. But then he got tired of paying for the gas, so he found a 2000-something Saturn Sky convertible. I'm like, Dad, what the hell do you need with that car? And some of his rooms in his house are just getting so much junk. Yeah, he's got a little bit of hoarding tendencies, and to be honest, he got it fairly, because when my grandma died, he went to go clean out the house in Avonmore where she lived. She had a chain hanging from the roof of the basement. It had nothing but empty, washed out milk jugs on it. Why? I don't know, but she had them. No, Dad's not that bad with that. Tools, though, on the other hand, yeah, he has a shit ton. I'm worried about that. And he still has the 64 Corvair that he bought, was gonna build it up, basically make it look like new,
but he got just to let it sit there.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it needs the whole. He's got the floor plan, so it needs the whole floor pan cut out of it, and the new one welded in because it is shit. It's basically rust holding hands on the one. And amazingly enough, he actually drove that thing home when he got it. But and he's done nothing with it. He's not gonna do anything with it. So I constantly ask the man, when are you going to sell that thing? Get rid of it. Because I guarantee you, I ain't keeping it when he dies. I'm going to call a scrapper and say, have at it. You can have it.
Give it to me. I'll take it.
That's 64 Corvette. Yeah, that's the last mid. Up until when the C8 Corvette came out, that was the last mid-engine car that Chevy made.
My dad would love it.
Yeah, his plan was it's white, and it needs a whole new interior. It basically needs almost everything new in it. The engine's probably in good mechanical shape, but probably needs a rebuild anyway because of its age. But
my dad's working on a Jeep right now. Found like, I don't even know what year it is, but it's a really, really like early model Jeep that was
like a Willys,
huh?
Like a Willys or an actual Jeep, AMC Jeep.
AMC Jeep, I think.
Okay.
I haven't taken a close look at it, but it was like parked in the middle of somebody's grove, and he pulled it out, and he's planning on working on it. So
right.
It needs a lot of work. But, that's the type of thing that he does for fun these days.
Yeah. Well, the thing is what I think Dad just, once it he started buying stuff for it, and he got to the point where his skills aren't enough to do it. It was actually pretty on track pre-COVID. All right. He had a welding shop that would have done the welding work it needs. So they would have put it on a rotisserie, would have put that on there for him. All right. And then, he could haul it back so he can finish putting it together. But, cause he would have painted it too. Cause my dad, when I was a kid in the early 80s, he worked for PennDOT, and he would get laid off every winter, unless it snowed. And then he would be called up to help run the plows. He was a foreman. He did not have to drive the plows. So, but in any event, like the winter of 79 or the winter of early 80 or something, he started working in a body shop. Plus, he also took back when my dad was in high school, that you could actually do that. At most schools, like they had like a power technical course, industrial arts course that you could take in school. And so that he learned a lot of that from there, but he would go into the shop and he painted cars and stuff and redid them all. And, he had found fairly new, Skylark that my grandpa bought, and he actually did all the work on it, redid it all. Painted it and all that stuff. So he is an accomplished painter of cars. Beyond that, he can do a lot more than I can do. I guarantee you that, except for on a newer car, But I think, plus he's getting up there in age. So it's like, I'm worried that when he does pass, and I'm going to go down there to help my brother clean shit out so he can take the house over, because he put my brother on the deed so that he doesn't have to worry about, transferring the deed and stuff. So when he dies,
et cetera.
So, my brother definitely will probably take it, cause it's in better shape than his piece of shit house. The house my brother built was one of those modular homes where they drop the house off in chunks, but it was not very well built. Compared to either of my houses, my new one or my old one. But although I'm thinking by the time my dad does pass, he may not need it. Because at that point, he might have all the kids out of the house finally. But, yep. I'm dreading when I have to do that, Dan. I know you went through hell to clean your dad's house out.
Well, yeah. What are you gonna do, right?
Yeah. I can't tell him what not to do. What's funny though is I got onto Facebook after he bought that convertible, and I said, "Why didn't you tell him no?" He's like, "I did." I'm like, "Okay." I'm waiting. Probably some year I'm going to drive down there, and he's going to have sold both the truck and the camper, Ralph, and have a full-size RV sitting in his driveway, and I'm going to be like, "Dad, really?" Oh, heck, I might do that someday, but not now.
We got to wrap this show up, Joel.
RVs are stupid expensive, but yes.
Yeah, they are.
It's the last show of November.
Yeah, it is.
We'll see you here in December.
I want to talk about what I've been up to.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
It shouldn't take very long. I mean, I found myself in need of an articulated lamp, and I didn't really feel like buying one. And I had USB extension cables and USB lights. So I 3D designed and printed a mounting bracket and lampshade for it, and attached it to one of the articulated arms that I already printed out. So I've made my own articulated lamp.
Oh, that's cool. How's it working?
It
works pretty good. I mean, I can use like phone mounts for it, And I got it set up right next to my chair, so that way when I'm working on something and I need light in a proper spot, I can just move it and have it in the right position. And it's quite bright, really. So it came out good. I might actually post this one on Thingiverse.
There you go.
Like this design.
I've done that before. Not the full lamp, but a lamp I had. One I had it when I was out in at the apartment. I ended up throwing that lamp out because our new house has all these overhead lights. But I had a lamp that I got from Target, and the bottom was basically just translucent plastic. That cracked. So I just designed and printed a new bottom for it. And that worked well. But
well, this one kind of looks like a utility light. You know, it's just got the back shape right. To it.
Yep.
And then a cup on the bottom to help point the light upward. And yeah, I'm really liking it. I just got it done today. It took like 6 or 7 prints to get the whole thing correct because of how thin I made the material.
That's pretty cool.
The overhangs. So yeah, it was a bit difficult to print. And I found out that the black PLA that I get from Amazon Basics, I think, is a lot more brittle right. than the gray that I was using, which I think was inland. Huh. And so, yeah, it was a bit more difficult to get the supports removed and get everything in position correctly without breaking the mounting points.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why it was more brittle, but it's worked.
That's pretty cool.
Is that it?
That was it.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh, that's great.
I told you it wouldn't take long.
No, it didn't. Yeah. That was awesome.
Dan's and I's rant about corporate shit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So
I wanted to talk about that.
I wanted to let you guys do all your stuff. I mean,
Yep.
We could talk about the 3D design process, but yeah, that's a little boring.
It is boring.
All right. Well, thank you. Another note for those in the know, not in the know, or want to be in the know.
Yes.
Ice Window Manager has a release on the 14th of November. So bravo to Ice Window Manager. I'm using it. I love it. Keep going. Anyway.
And it's first release in, what, 2 years?
No, they release pretty regularly. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. So their last release was. The latest release was 322. They release at least once a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I'm trying to see. I don't want to download it. I wanted to see if they have a release. Well, they are on GitHub, so
mm-hmm.
Release 321 was 22 days ago, 320 was 28 days ago, 310 was in October. So they've been releasing on a regular basis. October 6th, 3.0 was released October 3rd. So last 299. So it looks like they're releasing like really regularly. So good on them. I like Ice.
That's sweet.
All right. Anyway, let's wrap this sucker up. We'll see you in a week. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
You behave yourself, Alan.
I try my best.
All right. Here it is, your promos.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest and talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over. You were making it from young in the kitchen. This is done. Sushi.
Mmm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
All right. My pie crust tasted fine, looked like shit.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, it's just I'm not used to rolling it out. I did it with my food processor this year. Worked out pretty good. Kind of probably could have baked, really probably both of them a little longer. I'm not exactly sure. The pecan pie tasted great, but it was a little bit runny. So, I don't know. I got enough stuff to make another pecan pie in there. But I'm probably going to make a sugar-free pumpkin. Because everybody ended up eating her pot, my wife's pie. She didn't get too much of it. Everything else I made, the stuffing, the turkey. Yeah, all that stuff I did by hand. The only thing I didn't make was the gravy and the cranberry sauce. I did say, I will say, did not buy the can-shaped cranberry sauce.
I made a lot of stuff. I made a lot of cranberry sauce. Gave some away.
There you go. I bet yours is pretty damn good, too.
Everybody loves it.
Oh, and I've never tried one, but I was on the way back home from the doctor today. I stopped at Starbucks, and I tried their cranberry bliss bar thing they have at Christmas. It's pretty tasty. And now I'd like to figure out how to make it on my own.
But, I'm going to stop the recording.
There you go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, I added a whole bunch of peanut butter to one of the recipes, and it actually made it decent.
Did you add peanut butter or peanut butter powder?
Both.
Okay, so you made extra peanutty.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you need a little bit of the fats and oils in there to give it some flavor. Why is it just comes out tasting like cardboard?
Got coconut oil in there too, right?
I thought about doing the coconut oil as well, but I think I'm getting enough oil from the peanut butter. And it's already got coconut flour in it, so...
That stuff's actually pretty good. I think I made... Was it that? Or... No. I made something... I'm trying to think what it was. But not with coconut flour, but with almond flour. And it kind of tasted almost like a shortbread cookie.
Yeah, I could see that. The coconut flour is one of the reasons you use it in recipes like this, because it's extremely absorbent. It will soak up almost whatever you put with it.
And a week ago tomorrow, I ate like shit, but I was happy.
Yeah, I've had a couple of days here where I did that. I'm back up to like so 215 pounds now. Day before yesterday, I just said to hell with it and ate an entire pizza.
What size pizza?
That's a large.
Well, I mean, was it a 12-inch pizza, a 16-inch, an 18-inch?
I think it was a 12-inch. I don't know. What size is Little Caesars pizzas?
Well, I think that's going to probably be like an
Little Caesars, a large.
16 to 18-inch.
The Hula Hawaiian. Delicious.
Ooh.
It's a 14-inch pizza.
14-inch pizza.
I thought it would be 16. Anyway, love pizza. Did you guys record a show last week?
I wasn't
Icon on. Nobody was here.
All right, I didn't see one, and I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss
it. Not doing it, so I didn't even log on.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess I was the only one that needed a break. Yes, I got stuff to talk about, car stuff with my son.
Yeah. But I got some small stuff to talk about.
I got a bitch.
I might buy a new set of headphones right here in a few minutes.
What are you thinking about getting?
Our good friend Joe Bourne, who now has ownership of the AIWA or Iowa brand, he brought out Bluetooth speakers, Bluetooth headphones, and Bluetooth earbuds.
How'd he get that?
I don't know, but those, you know, we talked about that years ago is when it happened, because I think he actually sent Link one of the Exos 9 speakers. But I just saw on Facebook, because I'm friends with Joe on Facebook, he has roughly, let's see, how many does this is? well, put it this way. He has a surplus of the Iowa Prodigy Air Max Bluetooth earbuds.
Well, if he sends me some, I'll do reviews on all the shows I'm on.
Dude, they're like $26.99.
That's $26.99 more than I want to spend. I have a crap ton of headphones.
So do I, but I can't have too many.
Yeah, you don't have as many as I do, I promise you this. There's probably 30 of them within 4 feet of me, and if I extend that out to 10 feet, yeah, the number goes up. A lot.
There you go.
I have a lot of headphones.
I might pick up these, but I may also later on down the road pick up a pair of the Google Pixel Buds Pro. Been thinking about those for a while. I just wish I could find a good set for decent price. I don't know. Actually, you can buy two of them for $21.59 each. I think I'm just going to buy one. And I'm not adding a plan to. I love this. When you buy, and this work is the same thing, even at like Walmart, you know, like you'll buy something. What did I buy at Walmart that popped that up the other day?
I haven't been in Walmart in years.
Something silly. Hey, Alan.
Walmart every couple of days. Because it's so close by and, you know, groceries.
Yeah, it's not that far away from me.
Yeah, it's not that far away, but it's just I don't know. I've been going to Target instead of Walmart, but different clientele, I guess.
Yeah, you got the pajama crowd there.
Yeah, it's fun watching the freaks, but also I don't want to get too close to the freaks.
And you just missed what I was telling Joe and Dan, our good friend Joe Bourne, on Facebook, he has a surplus of his Iowa Prodigy Air Max Bluetooth earbuds because he bought the Iowa brand.
Okay.
$26 a set.
Oh, that's cool. I got the Iowa ones from him, the Bluetooth earbuds from him already. They're actually very good. I like the way they sound.
Oh, good. Then I'm glad I got another set. Mostly because I have my primaries I use with my phone are Jabra Elite 3s, I think. I can't remember which level it is, or when or what year they came out, or something like that. They've been okay. The one thing I will notice is if I have them on, you know, because they do have a microphone on, but if I have them on and somebody calls me and I'm listening to stuff, which, you know, obviously that whatever I'm listening to stops, yeah. Then I'll start to talk. They can hear me, but then like 2 seconds later, they can't.
Oh, I don't know. I don't use it much for phone calls.
Right. Same here. I mean, I very rarely will use Bluetooth for a phone call unless I'm in a car, but.
If I had to say any complaint about them, they and it's more me than them. They are true in earbuds, so they block out everything outside. And if there's not anything playing, I end up hearing that tinnitus that I have. So yes.
So you got her pregnant, huh? Yeah, he did twice.
Yes, twice. But other than that, I mean, I like the way they sound. They've got really good sound.
I'll drop them into the... Well, you already have a set, but if you wanted to buy another set, I dropped the eBay link on the...
eBay.
Yeah.
I've got a return going to them tomorrow.
And it's $26.99 for one set. I just bought a set. You can buy two for $21.59 each.
Hmm. Yeah, they're not exactly looking like the ones that I have, but
they're not, yeah. or they are.
No, they aren't. Mine has more of a rounded. I guess mine is like the first version. This must be the second round that he had, because I know he had two different versions.
Okay. I always wanted one of the speakers. I never got one of those, but. I did have, like, the Hail Dreamer, which I don't have that no more. And even if I did, it wouldn't work with any of my phones. And then the Digital Innovation speaker he had, again, it probably wouldn't work with any of my phones because both of those used micro USB.
Wait, why does he have so many open box Iowas to sell?
It says scratch and dent packaging, but never opened.
Oh.
That's what it says. So, they're brand new.
Something fell off the back of a truck and got damaged and then got picked up and put back on.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah. It's...
But isn't that his company? I guess it got sent back.
Yeah, it is.
So that's what...
In fact, I should send that to Link, too.
I consider, but I don't like earbuds. I hate earbuds.
Yeah, they're not for everyone. I love to find something different for my phone calls on Zoom.
All right, we should get the show started. Plenty to talk about tonight.
Do. All
right. So.
And I cooked every bit of my Thanksgiving meal, with exception of cranberry sauce. And, oh, that was it. Cranberry sauce, gravy. I bought some jar gravy because I can never make enough gravy from my turkey.
This is episode 981.
Yep.
Let's see how the volume goes today. Working with some stuff here. Well, let's fire up. This is 981?